Good. We'll give you guys some revelation and deeper understanding as we go through these next few parts. Okay, so as always, we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to help us to focus as we go through this part and to also help us to learn something new and to understand something new, because we need Holy Spirit in order to get wisdom and revelation that will help transform us, okay? So let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this day that you have given to us. We gather today as a church family because we want to fellowship together and we want to fellowship with you, God. And we just ask right now, as we hear your word, that you would speak to each of us, God. Wherever we are at currently right now in our life and in our journey, may we be encouraged by the truth that, God, you love us, you care about us, you think good thoughts about us, and you desire to know us personally. And Father, you also desire for us to grow and to spiritually mature. And that is why we are on this journey, is to be equipped, to become more aware, and to build a biblical worldview. So that as we journey as Christians, we can stand firm in our faith and we can be strong in our faith. And we can withstand all of the attacks of the enemy. And so I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would use me to speak your truth in love, and that you would reveal your truth to each of us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are on page 29. Okay, and we're going to talk about what exactly are demons. Okay, so first bullet point. Again, for the sake of this Bible study and discussion, we will define a demon as a disembodied spirit being, an invisible creature that has an intense craving to occupy, live in a physical body. Okay, so we need to understand that is what a demonic spirit, or as the Bible defines it, an unclean spirit is. Okay, they do not have a body. They are living in the unseen realm. We cannot see them, but they have an intense craving to occupy a body. Okay, whether that is a believer or an unbeliever, they have an intense craving to occupy a physical body. And we will learn more next week about how we can protect ourselves from not opening up doors in our life to demonic activity. Okay, but we need to understand that is what a demon is. Okay, there are multiple ways a demon can enter someone, but we'll look at that more in depth later in the study. A demon's first choice is a human body, but rather than remain in a disembodied condition, they are willing to enter even the body of an animal. Okay, we just saw that in the story that Aaron read. Okay, Jesus has all authority and all power. And here's the cool thing about it. If we have genuinely been transformed and we have given our life to Jesus Christ, then we too also have all power and all authority to stand firm against the devil and his kingdom. But Jesus commands the demons from this man to come out. And the demons beg Jesus not to just be cast out into the unseen realm, into the desert, into the unknown, but to at least go into the herd of pigs. And then the herd of pigs go over the cliff and fall into the riverbank. Okay, so again, demons want to occupy something. They don't want to stay in that kind of unknown state where they're not occupying a physical body. They want to occupy either a physical human body, but if they cannot occupy a physical human body, then they rather even enter into the body of an animal. Okay? It is hard for us to entertain, the fourth bullet point, the idea of a person without a body. Nevertheless, even though demons have no bodies, they have all the normally accepted marks of personality. Okay, before we get into these marks of personality, we have to understand that it's hard for us to imagine these types of invisible creatures, right? Where they don't have a body, but they actually want to occupy a physical body. But here's the interesting thing about demons. Is demons have known you from since you were in your mother's womb. They've known you even potentially, they've known about your family even before that. Your family history, what your family struggled with throughout the generations, what was ungodly in your family. And then the moment that you were born and came into the world, you are actually not born into life. According to the Bible, you were born into sin. You were born into death. You were born into separation from God. Okay, so if that is the truth of what the scriptures say, then that means we are all in need of a savior. At some point in our life, hopefully you have made the decision to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And you have been born again. And the Holy Spirit now lives inside of you. Because it's only at that moment that when we are born again, we have the ability to see things more clearly, to understand more of the truth, to even love the truth, and to stand firm against the enemy. But demons know you from birth. They know what you like. They know what you don't like. They know what you struggle with. They know what you don't struggle with. They know what your relationship with God is like. They know the things you do in secret that maybe nobody else knows except God. They know, and they are looking for opportunities to influence your life. In a negative way, not in a positive way. They are looking to disrupt your spiritual growth. They are looking to disrupt your relationship with God. They are looking to disrupt your commitment to Christ and your relationship with Christ, your service to Christ. Okay, when I was talking with a younger man this morning, he was just sharing about his life, and he was sharing about how he's pursuing education, he's pursuing a career, he's pursuing maybe having a family, and also just having kids, and all of these things that are, you know, normal things for us to pursue. But he said he's also trying to figure out how he can commit his life fully to Christ in the midst of pursuing everything that he's pursuing. And he was asking me, he just said, you know, Pastor, like, what are your thoughts? What is your advice? And I just told him straight up, I said, well, if you are pursuing all these things and Jesus wants you to do something different, would you be willing to do that? And he said, no. Or he's not sure. Sorry, he didn't say no, but he said he's not sure if he would be willing to do that. And so then what I simply encouraged him, or what I told him, is that, well, all that reveals is that you don't really love Jesus. That Jesus is not that much of value to you. And that he is not worth it. He is not worth the sacrifice. He is not worth the commitment. He is not worth your life. Because even in his own self-profession of what he says, he might say that he loves Jesus, but if he is pursuing everything else in the world, and by his own actions, he is not committed to Christ or the things of Christ, well, the Bible says that we are just simply lying. We are lying to ourselves, and we are lying to other people. If we say we love Christ, we will desire to obey Christ. And so we are pursuing all these different things. The question we need to ask ourselves is, are we willing to prioritize Christ as the single most important person in our life? And what Christ says, does that become the main priority over your school, over your job, over your family, and over everything else that you think is important? This is what it means to follow Christ. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to have a relationship with Christ. And is he worth it to you? Is he worth that much to you? This is the call of the cross. And so as we understand demons more, demons are trying to prevent you from fulfilling what Christ desires for you. He is trying to distract you from what is important and to get you caught up in a whole bunch of other things that more than likely do not have an eternal significance, but it's just temporary value. So, when we talk about the accepted marks of personality, one is a will. Bottom of page 29, the demon who has gone out of a man says, I will return to my house from which I came. The demon here exercises its will to make a decision and then follows it up with the corresponding action. So the demon leaves, but he says he will come back and he will try to get in. He has a will. Demons have a will. Number two, demons have emotion. James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Trembling is an outward expression of strong emotion, which is especially increased at the sound of the name Jesus or Yeshua, which is the Hebrew name for Jesus. The original name for Jesus. Demons tremble at the name of Christ, at the name of Yeshua. It's only by the name of Jesus can we resist demonic spirits and stand firm in our faith. But the scripture says that, okay, many people believe. Well, so do demons. So if simply the extent of your faith is just belief, that you believe in God and nothing else has transpired in your life or your relationship with Christ, well, we'll understand this more next week. But you know there's a demon called a religious spirit. And religious spirits, which is religion, is not a good thing in this term. But a religious spirit is most likely what the Pharisees struggled with. And a religious spirit causes a person, even Christians, to believe in God, but then do nothing with their faith. Religious spirits love to show up at church on Sunday, but then not actually live as a disciple of Christ. Religious spirits love to sing songs to God on Sunday, but then actually don't spend time or look forward to spending time with God during their week. Religious spirits love to do things in the church, but then they don't actually serve Christ outside of the church. They don't love the truth and are willing to stand for the truth. And religious spirits, I will tell you, is one of the most hard demonic spirits to recognize. Because on an outward appearance, it looks like somebody is a Christian and it looks like somebody loves God. But according to Jesus and the Bible, he says the only way that you can tell is look at their fruit. And I can already discern that some of you struggle with a religious spirit. Because you come to church on Sunday, you sing songs to God, and you love to be in church on Sunday. But your relationship with God is not real. It's not authentic. Your relationship with Christ is not to a point where you are willing to let go and deny yourself and actually suffer for Christ and commit to the things that Christ wants us to commit to. And so religious spirits love when Christians come to church on Sunday, but then do nothing for the kingdom of God. They don't engage in the war. They don't engage in the battle for lost souls. And they're not willing to take up their cross and follow after Christ. Deny themselves. And so it's something that if we recognize that we struggle with, well, here's the encouragement in Scripture. Do something about it. Take our faith more seriously. Seek out prayer. Seek out deliverance. Seek out healing. So that we are no longer influenced by a religious spirit or a spirit that causes us to have this outward expression of love for God. But inwardly, we know that we are struggling to desire God and spend time with God and focus on the things of God. And it's a very serious spiritual condition to have. Number three, intellect. Demons have knowledge not derived from natural sources. The first time Jesus confronted a demonized man in the synagogue in Capernaum, the demon spoke out of the man and said, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." It was more than a year before Jesus' own disciples began to realize what this demon had recognized immediately. Again, these demons know who Jesus is. They know who God is. They understand the nature of God and the character of God. They understood who Yeshua was even before his own disciples fully understood who he was. Number four, self-awareness. When Jesus asked the demonized man in the country of Gadarenes, "What is your name?" A demon answered on behalf of itself and the other demons, "My name is Legion, for we are many." The demon was aware of both its own identity and that of the other demons occupying this man. So demons are self-aware. In the story that Aaron read, we see that this man is suffering from multiple demons, not just one. Multiple demons, but all the demons are aware of all the other demons that are occupying this man. They are self-aware. They are also aware of Christ. They are also aware that Christ has arrived. And there's just something about Christ that is different from any other man who has passed through that region. Christ has a special power. He has a special authority. Christ is God. And so these demons know and recognize who he is. Number five, the ability to speak. In the first three Gospels and also in Acts, we see several examples of demons able to speak through the vocal organs of the persons they were occupying. They could answer questions and carry on a conversation. Normally, we regard the ability to speak as a distinctive mark of personality. So if somebody is possessed by a demon, okay, and we'll reiterate this next week. True born again Christians cannot be possessed by a demon, but they can be in possession of a demon if we open up a door and we give a demon a legal right to come into our life and occupy our body. But as true born again Christians, Holy Spirit possesses us. But we can still be in possession of a demon, and we'll understand how that happens. But for this man, he is possessed by demons. Demons are using his vocal organs to communicate to Christ. Okay, but demons also speak in many different ways. And more often than not, they speak into our minds. They whisper into our ears. Now I'll ask you guys a question. Have you ever heard a voice tell you to kill yourself? I have. When you're small, thank you for your honesty. I've heard those voices when I was small, even now as a pastor. Now it's not a voice from God, and I know how to resist that voice. But why do you think some people take their life? It starts with a voice. It starts with a whisper into their ear, into their mind. Something tells them that life is not worth it, that they should kill themselves, take their life, end their life. These are demons that are speaking to people. It's not that somebody was just depressed and sad and had a rough upbringing or went through a tough situation and decided that, oh, I'm going to end my life. We already understood, what is Satan and his kingdom's purpose? Steal, kill, and destroy. And it's very twisted, but they get a high off of killing, stealing, and destroying people's life. Someone ends their life, demons like that. Satan likes that. God doesn't want that for people. But at the same time, there are still, we can ask so many deep philosophical questions. And I know you guys will maybe come with some of them. Well, then why does God allow it? Well, God allows free will and free choice, and there is cause and effect. And in some situations, God will intervene if it is his will. But this is why he's called us as the church, to understand this topic and to go out into the world, for you guys to go out into your school and to proclaim the truth in hopes that it will make a supernatural, powerful impact in the life of people. People who are struggling with suicidal thoughts, people who are struggling with depression, and people who are struggling with their identity and purpose in life. Jesus is the answer, and we have the answer. The challenge is, are we willing to share the answer? So, some of us have had those thoughts. How many of us, maybe for some of the guys, have you ever had a thought to look at porn? Right? Or look at pornography or lustful images or naked images on the internet? Yeah, it's real talk today. This is raw church today. Maybe not what you're used to, right? Or maybe how many of us, we've had other thoughts. Maybe it's not to relate to lust or pornography, but other thoughts. These are all influenced by demons. I strongly believe that. And they will whisper. They will speak into our minds. They will speak into our ears to get us to do things that are contrary to God's will. And we'll look at how they can enter in more later. But this is just for us to understand how demons operate. Okay, I'll share a story with you. My first encounter with demonic activity was when I was in high school. Okay, my cousin brought home a movie. I think it was like Scream 1 or one of those Scream movies. And I was probably in grade 11 around there, and I ended up watching the movie, and I got really scared. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, maybe in my life I opened up a door to like a demon of fear or something like that. But I couldn't sleep. I was having nightmares. And then one day I was just resting in my bed in the morning. It wasn't even nighttime. It was like midday. And I just went into kind of this unconscious state where I was aware of what was around me, but I couldn't move. And I heard something whisper into my head, I'm going to kill you. And it was only in my inner being, in my spirit, you know, that I kept saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And slowly, like I was able to move and I was able to come out of that state where I couldn't move. And when I came out of that state, I just yelled to my mom. I was like, Mom, because I didn't really know at that time what was happening. And then that same night I was sleeping and then I could hear footsteps in my room. And I could actually see little demonic spirits running around in my room. And so I think I remember that I asked my dad to come and pray. And thankfully, my parents were Christians. But I didn't know at that time what I was dealing with. I know now 100% what I'm dealing with. And it came through teaching and equipping and me taking the time to learn about it and understand it and grow. But demons want to occupy. Could be spaces, atmospheres, but most of all, they want to occupy a physical body. And they are trying to influence our thinking and our choices and our decisions. And we're going to understand more how we can protect this as Christians, the mind. Because that's the biggest entry point for demonic activity. It's our thoughts. It's what we think about. The Bible calls it thoughts and imaginations. Okay? But demons will speak. They will whisper. And they will talk to us. And again, some of us, there are demons who have known us from very young. And they're trying to get us involved in things that maybe our ancestors or our parents were involved in that had nothing to do with God. Okay, common names for demons. I'm going to challenge you guys to read through this list on your own time. Okay, but we're going to go through the list on the top of page 32. Okay, the list on the top or the bottom of page 31, it just talks about demons that are mentioned throughout scripture. Okay, so if you want to say, hey, well, where are demons mentioned? Where are demons in the Bible? Well, we just read a story from Jesus, right? Where he encountered demons. Well, you can look at the Old Testament. All the scripture references are there. And there's a few mentioned in the New Testament. The scripture references are there as well. And though that list is not exhaustive, there's more, right? But in addition to the names taken from scripture and listed above, these are some other names of demons that I and many others have encountered personally. Okay, we're just going to go through this list of potential demons. But what I'll say first is before we go through the list, not everything is a demon. Not everything negative in our life is a demon. But also not everything is just natural. Okay, we tend to err on the side of natural and just say, well, it's a natural sickness, right? But not everything is natural. Some things are demonic. But also, not everything is demonic. Some things are natural. And this is why God encourages us to grow in our ability to have wisdom and discernment. To know, well, what is natural and what is demonic? Because you have to deal with the two differently, right? And we're going to see. Jesus will give us clear direction on how we deal with things naturally and we can pursue healing, and how we deal with things that are demonic and how we can pursue healing with those things as well. Okay, so here's our list. Arthritis, asthma, epilepsy, head pain, cancer, crippling, thrombosis, migraine, sinusitis, okay, that's to do with the sinus, adultery, claustrophobia, really any type of phobia, could be demonic, criticism, disappointment, envy, fantasy or sexual fantasy, gossip, hatred, hopelessness, masturbation, murder, perversion, rebellion, rejection, religion or religious spirit, self-pity, stress, suicide, violence, witchcraft. Sorry, there should be a slash there. Fear, depression, lust, pornography, rejection, frustration. Okay, the list here, again, it's not exhaustive, but it indicates the diversity of demonic activity. Satan apparently has at his disposal vast numbers of demons with which to torment and attack individuals. And I could tell you honestly that within this list of demons, there are multiple types of demons within all of these families of demons. Okay, so two things to close. You may look at this list and become a little bit sad. You might become a little bit discouraged that, hey, how am I going to deal with this? Well, the only way to deal with understanding these things when it becomes a reality to us is to get serious about our faith, is to get serious about our relationship with God. And again, spiritual warfare is not something that we need to deal with like on a regular basis every moment of our day, be rebuking Satan or, you know, in very charismatic circles, they're all about deliverance all the time. No, spiritual warfare is something we need to understand as Christians so that if we encounter it, we know how to deal with it. I don't go looking for demons to try to get rid of them. But if I come across them in ministry, I know how to deal with them because of the Word of God. I don't go searching for demons within my own life. I do my best to prevent myself from opening up a door in my life. But if I end up struggling with something or giving into something, I know how to be healed and delivered of that. Right? Because it comes through understanding from the Word of God. Okay, so again, this is meant to help us have awareness, not fear, but awareness. And if you feel something in your heart saying, you know what, I might be struggling with one of these things, and I think it might be more than just natural or who I am, then most likely that is Holy Spirit tugging on your heart and saying to you that you need to pursue some sort of deliverance. Okay, and deliverance could happen today for you if you really have that sense. We'll actually go through the different steps of deliverance later on as well. Okay, but here's the second thing. So first, don't feel discouraged. We are on a journey of understanding and learning how to deal with this as Christians and as believers, but also how to become more aware and serious about our faith. What are we engaging in? What are we watching? What are we listening to? What are we being, you know, giving our time to? All of these different things affect our ability to be serious about our faith. And the last thing that I'll remind us of, again, is that not everything is a demon. Okay, some things are just natural. When I get a headache, I take an Advil, right? And I feel better. That's a natural headache. But I've met people who struggle with migraines, and they take Advil after Advil and Tylenol after Tylenol, and they go for appointment after appointment, and they go for ultrasound after ultrasound, and MRI after MRI, and nothing changes. That's not natural. That's demonic. And that person needs healing. That person needs deliverance. And when those demons go in the authority of Jesus Christ, that person is free from migraines. And that person has been healed and delivered. And now that person needs to understand maybe how that migraine or demon of migraines came in and how they need to stay free and stay delivered as Christians. Okay? So, that's kind of mind-blowing, right? Maybe there's certain things in our life that we didn't realize was just, you know, maybe we thought it was just natural, but potentially it's maybe not. And it's going to cause us to think about those different things. But again, don't be discouraged, because if we are born again Christians, we have Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And we have been given the power and the authority to deal with these things. But we need to become aware of it. Okay? Our discussion questions for today. Do you recognize any of these names of demons at work in your life, where you feel strongly oppressed or influenced by one or more of these negative characteristics or illnesses? Okay, we're gonna know, like, you know when it's a demon in certain instances, there's an oppression, there's a constant torment, right? And number two is, as it relates to common names for demons from the Bible, which story from scripture are you interested in learning more about? Okay, so you can, again, go through that list in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Read the story. The scripture verses are there. Start to read throughout the week and understand, okay, how did God encounter these demonic spirits? These little G-O-Ds, right? These little gods. And then also see what Jesus' encounters were like with these demonic spirits. And how did he deal with them? Because we are called to deal with them in the same way. Okay? So next week, we are going to get into a very interesting part. So please stay with me. Stay on the journey. Don't check out. Don't start to, you know, think that, oh, this is getting weird. Like, no, it's biblical. It's a biblical worldview. It's something we need to understand as Christians. But you have to, again, remember I said, you have to see it all the way through till the end. And I believe that you will build a biblical worldview, you will become more aware, and you will learn how to be a soldier of Christ. Okay, those are our three goals. So next week we're going to learn about, can Christians be possessed by a demon? And I kind of already answered it today, but we'll look more into it, more in depth next week. Okay, so let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the revelation of your truth. I just pray that you would help us, Holy Spirit, to stay on this journey, because I believe that something good is going to be produced at the end. God, you are equipping us and you are helping us to grow and to spiritually mature as Christians. And becoming more aware and understanding spiritual warfare helps us in our journey, not only for our own personal faith, but to also make an impact in the lives of people who are around us. So I just pray that we would encounter your truth in a real, authentic way, God. Removing all the fluff and maybe all the superficial stuff. And even as we get more real and more raw or more honest, God, with our lives and with maybe what we're struggling with and just not wanting the enemy to have any place in our life, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to be transparent and vulnerable and honest. And it's okay, because we all struggle with different things, but we don't need to hide it, and we shouldn't hide it. I pray that we would be willing to bring it out into the light and to confess it and to expose it, God. In your name we pray. Amen.